Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each weekday, Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. Linda Cohen along with you. For a child in the hospital, play, especially play that utilizes all sensory inputs or modalities, allows for normalcy in the chaos of illness and assists in distraction from pain and trauma and overall anxiety. Studies from the National Institutes of Child Health and Human Development have also shown that children with learning disabilities especially benefit from a multisensory approach as the most effective way for these children to learn. Well, Upstate Golisano Children's Hospital has recognized the need to provide this type of environment for children with developmental disabilities and who are in need of pediatric rehabilitation. And they provided this multisensory environment as the first in a children's hospital in the United States. Joining us this morning to help us understand more about this unique facility is Kara Judd-Laterra, a child life specialist at Upstate Golisano Children's Hospital. Welcome, Kara. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start by helping us understand, what is a child life specialist? What do you generally do in the hospital?
The role of a child life specialist is to protect the developmental growth of children when they are hospitalized. We accomplish that by doing assessments of the child's ability to cope with medical procedures, providing emotional support to the child and their family, as well as providing opportunities for play, both in an educational format and as well as just free play for children, so they can continue to meet their developmental goals and are able to better cope with hospitalization, because play really is the language of children.
So you really do prepare children for what they for upcoming procedures and help them really deal with anxiety and fear in a hospital setting.
Right. We really assess what is the child's need going to be for them to cope effectively with the procedure and not have emotional trauma as a result of the medical treatment. We want the whole child to be treated, their physical injury or illness, as well as their emotional needs.
It sounds to me like you're also an ombudsman for the family.
We really are. One of the largest roles of the child life specialist is to be an advocate for the family and for the child. So we basically just focus completely on what their needs are and can communicate that to the healthcare team.
It's an incredible role, actually, and really forward-thinking. But anyway, let's get back to this notion of a multisensory environment. I mean, that's Upstate Golisano Children's Hospital is the first inpatient pediatric multisensory environment. That's correct?
Yes, that is correct. The multisensory environments are in place around the country in rehab facilities for adults, some for children as well, also in schools or outpatient settings, but this will be the first one that has it in an inpatient unit.
So what's the concept behind it? First, let's start by helping us understand what's the goal of a multisensory environment in this setting, in an inpatient pediatric setting.
Well, you can really use the room to accomplish a wide variety of goals, which is one of the most wonderful things about it. The sensory system in any person really controls much of how we cope, how we react to pain, how we are living our day-to-day lives. And the sensory system, just like any other system of the body, can get out of whack.
And when we talk about, I'm sorry to interrupt you,
that's
but
okay.
When we talk about the sensory system, we're talking about a variety of input modalities like either visual, auditory, kinesthetic, meaning touch, mm-hmm. tactile, that kind of thing?
Yes, and also the vestibular system,
which is balanced.
The way that your body is balanced and the ability to recognize your body within a space and how to move your body effectively. And all of those systems can get out of whack by a hospitalization in general. If you add to that an injury or an illness, that complicates it even further. And if you have a child who starts out with differences in their sensory modalities, in their way that they greet the world,
process the world,
you really have a bigger challenge when they're hospitalized, because you can, to some extent, control their school day and their home life so that they can be best supported for their sensory needs. But a hospital traditionally doesn't have that ability, because there's so much that needs to be done that can't be controlled by the child or the family. So this room really will help us address that last piece of healthcare that is not generally looked at.
So are you saying that children, obviously I mentioned in the introduction that children specifically with multi with developmental disabilities are more in need of perhaps a more multisensory approach where we use a variety of modalities to get the message across. But you're saying that that could be true with any child in the hospital as well?
Absolutely. And one of the things that we're most excited to use the room for is to help introduce relaxation and coping skills to the children before they have invasive procedures and after. We can actually help them get into a state of relaxation, even if they have typical developmental level. We'll use the room to help them get into a state of relaxation before they have to go to a procedure. And we're hoping that the outcome of this will be less of a pain response and better coping on the other side as they continue to heal.
So it really does, as you said, it's a controlled sensory environment, mm-hmm. and it helps just relieve pain or reduce anxiety and get them perhaps ready both for an upcoming procedure but also to heal from a prior procedure or a prior illness of some kind.
Absolutely. And also helps them to have control in an environment where there's very little options for them to have control. One of the most unique things about these rooms is the child controls the room completely. We turn the switches on, but the child controls what comes on in the room.
Help us understand what the room would look like. So I'm walking into the room. What do I see or feel or hear?
Well, the room is completely white. There are no windows. There's a white floor. There are white mats on the floor. And there is bubble columns of water that reach from the floor to the ceiling. There is also a little tunnel in a cave for a little quiet space. And then there's a light box fan as well as fiber optic lighting strands. And the room can be controlled in a few different ways. There is a matte, soft cube with different colors on it. You can set the room to be controlled by the cube. So when the child moves or tosses the cube on the floor, whatever color lands up, the bubble tubes, the fiber optic lighting, and the light fan in the room will turn that color.
And sounds like a dream.
It will announce the color that it is turning to.
So let me understand. So let's say red. Mm-hmm. They throw the cube on the floor. The red is the top color that mm-hmm. shows up on the cube, and all the lights come on red.
Yes, exactly. And for children that have difficulty with physical movement, we also have a sound box. So just by making the slightest sound, even if it's not a word, that they can utter. If they can make any sound, a grunt, a groan, even just a puff of air, they can change the room that way too. So the room will change different colors just by them reacting with the sound box. The other way is we have a switch panel that is cause and effect. So the children can touch the different colors on the box and it will change color according to what their choice is.
So it sounds like just what you said before, this whole issue about anxiety for children in particular, but adults as well, in a hospital setting is this loss of control. And what you're telling me is you're basically putting a child in an environment where they have absolute and total control over what they see and hear and feel and all of that. But I guess my question to you is, are they guided in any way? Because let's say a child is somewhat hyperactive and decides they want a lot of red, and I mentioned red before, and you would think, if anything, that doesn't create stress-free or relaxation. It makes you more, perhaps, agitated. So how, if in effect, how do people interact with these, adults interact with children in that environment?
That's a great question. The child life specialists are being trained in how to use the room to best affect the sensory system in a positive way for the children. For example, if you have a child, that, as you mentioned, that might be rather hyperactive, or we sometimes do get admits of a psychiatric nature where the children are having trouble controlling their behavior, the first goal is to meet the child where they're at. So you start up with a lot of sensory input. We have a very sophisticated projector system where you can add color and visual pictures. You can also make it into a prism so the pictures appear in different ways throughout the room. We also have an advanced stereo system and a vibroacoustic bed. So it makes kind of a bass-like sound, but it also, if the child is sitting on the bed, that system of bass goes through the child.
They feel it.
They feel it in their vestibular system. So you start out with a lot of sensory input in the room, and then you have to watch the child's biofeedback reactions. Are they starting to relax? What can you start to back off from, or what can you change in the room to get the result that you want based on what the child's feedback is? Because if an adult just goes in and turns it on what they think the child needs, you really lose the best effect of the room.
So there's an interactive quality here, but I guess what I'm hearing is that some therapists, or in your case, child life specialists, or people who are, you need some adult to kind of pattern it in interaction with the child.
Yeah, that really helps the room help the child in the best way. We're also working with our wonderful pediatric occupational physical and speech therapists to work together to co-treat to help make treatment goals. For example, if you have a child with a new tracheostomy and they may not have had that before, the speech therapist can work with the child using the microphone and the sound reactant to help the child learn how much pressure they need to find their voice again. And they get a lot of positive feedback from that, because when they use their voice at the right pitch and the right level, the lights light up and there's a physical reaction to that that makes it, they're making the room go by using their voice.
There's a lot of biofeedback, basically.
Yes. So you can use the room to help make treatment goals as well. You might have a child who's reluctant to walk, and the traditional things of, kicking a ball aren't appealing to them. But if they are able to relax in the multisensory environment, they may start to get up and explore on their own without even realizing it. So it really is helps with the non-invasive treatment goals.
So we do have, as you said, planned treatment.
Yes.
Goals and objectives. I mean, it's not just simply, willy-nilly the child's put in the room.
No, we do have, we are very lucky to have in our new building 5 play spaces where the children can do free play as well as organized activities. And this room is really something different. It's really part of their treatment plan.
Hmm. Now, I've heard the word, and this is a very funny word, snoozlin' or schnoozlin', used in describing these multisensory environments. Tell us about that.
Yes, Schnoozelin is one of the leading brand names of these type of rooms. It's basically a brand of equipment that you can purchase for multisensory environments.
And where's the origin of the word?
It's a Swiss word.
Oh.
And they actually in Europe, these rooms are much more prevalent. And so Schnoozelin is kind of the leader of that front, but there are many other companies that offer the same kinds of equipment. So ours isn't a Schnoozelin brand room, but if people were to want to look at Schnoozelin rooms online, it would give them an idea of what our room is like.
Right. So this has been in place for how long now?
Well, we have been working on it for over a year since we opened the Children's Hospital, and we are now getting all trained in it, and we hope to have it up and running for patient use very soon.
So it's not actually being used at this moment?
Not currently. It takes an extensive amount of training because, as you pointed out, it's not just a free play space. You really need to use it to meet treatment goals, and we don't want it to be a negative experience for the child.
Right. Is it ever used for groups? I mean, in other words, I know from my own background as a speech and language therapist, we both did individual therapy and also group therapy with different advantages to both. I mean, is there any thought to using this for small groups?
It certainly would not be outside of the realm of possibility. It really depends on what the child's individual needs are, and everybody has different sensory preferences. That makes using the MSE room a little bit tougher for groups, because what helps another child may not be the same for someone else.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, the goal would be to try to find children with somewhat similar needs or issues, but obviously that's for the future. And it sounds like it's a very promising and very exciting, and I look forward to hearing much more about it. And I'm sure you'll have a lot of success stories to share with us. Well, Kara Judd-Latera, Child Life Specialist with Upstate Golisano Children's Hospital, thanks so much for joining us. I really think this is fascinating stuff, and I particularly resonate to this idea of that kind of multisensory approach. We have to take a short break, but we'll be right back. I'm Linda Cohen. This is HealthLink on Air, FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.